Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. You guys have had such a wonderful summer and hasn't been nearly as warm as it usually is. Think of July and August being so hot and humid here in Illinois. And we head back to Ecuador Thursday. And usually we go back to Ecuador and it's cooler than what it is here, but not this year, not this time. So, out on the table there, we have some prayer cards. If you'd like to pick those up, put those on your bulletin board or your refrigerator or your dartboard or something, okay? There's also a sign-up sheet there for our newsletters, whether it's by email or by regular postal service. So please sign up, help us to kind of remain in contact and communication with you all. So, but it is a joy to be with you this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you of the mighty work that you're doing through each one of us. We want to be faithful disciples, and show us this morning how we can put the challenges that you've set before us and make them into life-changing and ministry-changing situations for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stay or will you leave? If you've been a Christian any time at all, you've seen people come and go. Some people come to God, but then sadly they walk away from that saving relationship. They come because of a crisis in their lives, and when that crisis passes, or when a new crisis comes, they kind of wither and fade away. You know, well, there's others that come to church, and they come year after year, until there is a moment in which they're challenged. Their faith is challenged, their loyalty is challenged, and even though they've been here, they haven't been transformed. And there's others that come and are transformed. In our message this morning, we see in the Gospel of John that John brings his reader to almost two inseparable questions. Over and over again he brings them. It says, first of all, to what degree do you believe in Jesus? And secondly, what kind of disciple of Jesus are you? These are questions that John pushes his readers to decide upon. And just give you the context here, we're going to look at John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, Jesus is at the height of his popularity. He has done a great miracle of feeding the 5,000. He has to escape, you know, the crowds, the large crowds. And then later that leads to him walking on the water. He comes to the disciples. The crowds seek him out again to make him king. And of course, for a free lunch, you know. All of us like a free lunch, right? And this is the scene for what is called the discourse of the bread of life. And that discourse, Jesus makes the greatest public claims that he has made so far in John's gospel about him, who he is and his deity, and it causes some problems in the listeners. This moment is a defining moment for these would-be disciples. And it comes to the question, who will stay or who will leave? In what follows in those passages in John 6, 60 to 71, we'll read here in a moment, we find three types of disciples. Two that are superficial, and one that is faithful. And we wanted to see what it takes to be that faithful disciple. So follow along with me if you want to in John chapter 6, 60 to 71, reading from the NIV 84. It says, on hearing it, and it is talking about the Jews have to eat Christ's flesh and drink his blood, many of the disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that the disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are the Spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that not that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered them, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Three types of disciples are exposed here. Which kind are you? First of all, to be a faithful disciple, when challenged, don't walk away, stay. When challenged, don't walk away, stay. Don't be like the first type of disciple we see here in this passage, who counts the cost and turns away. Verses 60 and 66 talks about them leaving. The disciple understands what it is to become a follower of Jesus Christ. He understands that it's allegiance to him, to his claims of deity. He understands that he is the one that has eternal life, yet he refuses. He'll accept a free lunch, and he wants to remain in control of his life, but he loses his soul in doing so. See, the issue arose here with Jesus' ministry, that they had a problem with his teaching. This idea of eating his flesh and drinking his blood was just unbelievable to the Jewish people. They understood that as cannibalism. But these people, and they are called his disciples at this moment, okay, put all aside. They throw it away. The soil in their hearts is like that soil in which takes root and then later fades away and doesn't produce fruit. But let me give you some characteristics of this type of disciple that walks away when challenged. Here are some of the characteristics of disciples that walks away and challenge. First of all, this type of disciple, they consider the superficial and physical aspects more than the internal implications. Okay? How does that play out? Well, I don't know if you have this here in your church here, but in our church down there, sometimes there are people that get upset about the color you paint the wall, or we don't have carpet down there, but we have tile, and oh, we don't like that type of tile. They get upset if you change the worship order on Sunday morning, because you know that's sacred. You can't change that. Or the music style they like or don't like, or they didn't get the recognition they feel that they deserve for doing something. And so, since things don't obviously go the best way, which is their way, they walk away. Another characteristic is they hide behind or justify their walking away on what appears to be biblical grounds. But oftentimes, it are twisted beliefs that are based on passages taken out of context, as we see here. Jesus was not talking about cannibalism, but they took that out of context. Oftentimes, people will leave the church because they take something the preacher says out of context from a sermon and twist it. We can't do that. You know, look what the preacher said. Then the other type of characteristic they have here is they gripe, they murmur. In the passage here, it says the disciples were grumbling about this. Okay, grumbling about this. They didn't go to the source for clarification. If they do go to the source, they go together for their ammunition. Say, you know, I talked to a pastor about that, a minister about that, and he said this, this, and this. And they just heard what they wanted to hear. And they don't get the understanding that they so much needed. The fourth characteristic is they take others with them. infecting them with their discontent and bitterness. Can you imagine these disciples grumbling, says, gee, he fed us yesterday, but he's not going to do it today. Now we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Now, I grew up in the town of Washington, just not too far from here. Small town. And as a kid growing up, if I did something, my parents knew about it before I ever got home. Okay? Small towns are like that. Churches are like that sometimes. The communication and the spy network is better than the CIA could ever hope for. Okay? But see, that plays a negative role when there's bitterness or discontentment, because it just spreads. It's said that bitterness is the most contagious sin as well. And that's what took place here. It just kind of spread, this grumbling among the disciples. The fifth characteristic here is they fail to submit their wills to the will of God. There's the key issue there. They search out what is easier for themselves. They become a consumer looking for the best deal. Okay? They want to do it their way. To give you an illustration, we have, as the video mentioned, discipleship. In four of our five churches, we have a really strong discipleship. In the fifth one, they're just now catching the need and the vision for that. But they did that after a very hard time. The minister they had, out of his own initiative, resigned due to family problems. And some of the people left with him, although he didn't try to take them at all. But they were following him, not Jesus. Then they came across a situation where they had to correct some false doctrine, especially in the Sunday school department. And when they did that, almost all the Sunday school teachers and youth leaders left as well, and their families. Then they exercise church discipline in areas of immoral relationships, and others left as well. So in a course of about 4 months, they were down to a third of the people that they had. They didn't have the roots. They weren't strong in discipleship. Things have turned around since then, and they've begun a strong discipleship, strong evangelism program, but it's been a hard lesson to learn, because people did not want to accept what Jesus' teachings were. What do you do when Jesus' teachings are hard? Not hard to understand, hard to accept. We are faced with challenges. God challenges our will and our way of thinking. And what biblical teaching is there in your life that you know is right, but it requires a change of life? A change of mentality, a change of priorities. When you're challenged, don't walk away. Stay. To be a faithful disciple, you also need to realize that to follow Jesus, changes in your thinking and life will have to occur. They'll have to occur. And Peter serves as an example of a faithful disciple in this text. He knows the cost of believing Jesus, yet he also knows the one who has the words of eternal life. Jesus alone has that message that brings eternal life, the message that frees us from sin and alienation from God, the message of gracious truth that serves our soul or saves our soul from eternal destruction. There is no other way. And Peter realized that. Now, Peter and the disciples are shaken as well. Even Jesus looks at them and says, will you leave also? Will you leave also? He does not try to coerce them to stay. He doesn't try to twist their arm and say, hey, don't leave me alone. Even with the multitude that left before that, he said, hey, wait, you didn't understand me right. Let me explain. Hey, we're not going to do this miracle of food right now, but don't forget the fellowship dinner we have next Sunday. No, he doesn't try that. doesn't try to talk them into staying, doesn't try to coerce them at all. Now let me give you some characteristics of this faithful disciple that stays and grows when challenged. First of all, they recognize who they are following. It's not the minister. It's not the style of worship. It's not a program in the church. We found that people often left the churches because of unresolved conflict with other people in the church. It wasn't over doctrine. They just couldn't get along with somebody. And so we added that as part of our discipleship second level course, where they learn on to resolve personal conflicts based on Proverbs. And they learn what the basis of communication is and how to resolve that. And so they can see that they are following Jesus and not someone else. And they can resolve those conflicts with each other. Second, this faithful disciple, they realize what is at stake is eternal life. They look past the temporary discomforts, their personal preferences for worship, for programs, for the way things are done, for priorities. If their feathers get ruffled, they learn from it. And they don't walk away. They look to see, okay, Lord, what are you teaching me here? Thirdly, this type of disciple believes, though they may not fully understand. Peter did not fully understand at that moment the idea of eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood. Did not fully understand that. But he trusted the leader. There are times when we are in leadership positions that we have to make decisions. And because of protecting a person and their integrity, we have to just be silent about those decisions we make or why we made those decisions. There's times in the churches down there we've made those decisions. There's times when we've had to exercise church discipline and that person has decided to choose to leave rather than to make the change in their lives that they need to follow Jesus. And people leave and they say, why would so-and-so leave? Well, the leaders forced them out. Well, that's not really the truth at all. But as leaders, sometimes we just have to take it. And as followers, sometimes you just have to trust your leadership. Because the spirit that's working in you is also working in those leaders. The most important part is the faithful disciple submits themselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ in beliefs and in practices. They pray, let thy will be done. Compared to many times we pray, Lord, do my will. When we come to prayer, we say, Lord, this is my grocery list. This is what I need. Rather than say, Lord, what is it that you need from me? Another illustration of a church discipleship. They had a solid discipleship ministry from day one. So they had years of this. They came across the hardest test I've seen a congregation go through, and hardest, at least personally in our ministry as well, where we had to deal with a minister in an improper relationship with another woman. We went through all the steps of confronting him biblically. We went through steps of hoping that he would repent and come around with him, and we talked with the other woman as well, and they both refused. So we had to come to the point where we had to publicly, before the congregation, say this person is no longer the minister and no longer part of the congregation. You can imagine the difficulty that is to do publicly, even though the scriptures tell us to do it that way. And you can imagine how much the congregation was shaken up over that. But I want to tell you something. When it was all said and done, we lost three people over that. The husband, the wife, in the other woman. Even family members and extended family members that are members of that church have continued with the congregation. That's unusual. But they have a strong discipleship, they have their roots down deep in the Word, and they know who they follow. To be a faithful disciple, don't just stay, be transformed. Don't just stay, be transformed. Judas personifies this type of superficial disciple. He stays around 3.5 years. You could have asked for a better teacher than Jesus, a better disciple maker than Jesus, and yet this person stays and is not transformed by Jesus' teachings. It's like the person that refuses to put on the wedding garments and, you know, sinks into the wedding feast that Jesus talks about. It's like the hypocrites that Jesus so silently condemns. Person stays, but is not transformed. Now let me give you some characteristics of this type of disciple that stays, but are not transformed. First of all, they follow through, but often just do the minimum. Okay, they do what is respectable. Oh, we have to go on there on Sunday morning. Oh, I have to fulfill my responsibility in the ministry or the committee that I'm on. They want to do what is respectable, what is visible. They want to be ashamed or embarrassed. So they follow through, but they do just the minimum. This type of disciple also shies away and sometimes even runs away from accountability. They do not submit themselves or what they do to evaluation. We have yearly evaluations in each of the churches. They set yearly goals, measurable, observable goals for their each of the ministries. And then at the end of that 12 months, we review those. Did we meet these goals? Why or why not? Where is the Lord leading us? If we didn't meet them, we want to learn from that. We don't look for the guilty party in that. We look for what God wants to teach us. Even in a couple of churches, if you're going to preach or give a communion meditation or offering meditation, you present that on Friday night. And a group of the from the pastoral ministry group reviews that so that it can be clearly communicated and it can be biblical. And even when it's my turn to preach, I submit my sermon to them on Friday nights. And they're kind of, oh, yeah, how can I tell the missionary that this is not quite right? You know? But they do. You know, they've got that trust and confidence now. And they help me say it better in Spanish. It also helps me from not finishing the sermon at 5 o'clock on Sunday morning. Okay? I don't know if you've ever done that, Brandon, but I used to do that, and that's helped cure me of that. So, the third thing is that their true nature is oftentimes not shown until the fruits of the lack of being transformed by the Word of God and relationship with God are brought to light. I've seen cases where people have been elders and deacons for years, but when they're asked to make a change or to be accountable, they say, "What? Not me, no. I've been here so many years, and now you ask me that? No." And they walk away. It's sad. It's hard. It's hard for Jesus to realize that Judas was going to walk away from that relationship. And lastly, they have an unrepentant response. Unrepentant response. Look at the difference between Peter's response and Judas' response when they deny Christ. Peter comes back and Judas walks away. In the illustration I just used about the minister that we had to dismiss and exercise church discipline with, it's really sad. This is a man that I spent 8 years before I finally baptized him into the Lord. After that, I helped him in our advanced training. He went through all of our advanced training. He went through the 6 years of discipleship. But it came to the point that he was no longer growing. He had stagnated. And he had walked away from a mutual accountable relationship that we had. And so he was then easy prey to fall into sin. Don't just stay. Be transformed. And realize that to follow Jesus, changes in your thinking and life will have to occur. And when challenged, don't walk away. Stay. Which of these disciples are you? The one that, when challenged, walks away? Or the faithful one like Peter? Or the one that just sticks around but's not transformed? I believe that God allows and even places challenges in our lives to help us decide which one we will be. He is not interested in the quantity of the followers. If he was, he would have gone after those that left in that first group. He is interested in the quality of the followers. Now, what challenge is God placing in your life now? Maybe he's been at it for days, weeks, maybe even years. He has a challenge before you. And you have to decide what you will do with that challenge. Will you accept that challenge and be transformed? Or will you refuse it and walk away? How will you respond to that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that our life has been chosen by you and to be a follower of you. And we thank you, Father, that you see our faith as something so precious that you're willing to see your son suffer. And so precious that you're willing to put us in sometimes difficult situations, even painful situations, in order that we can be tested and look upward toward you and trust you, even though we may not understand at the moment. But we want to be a faithful disciple, Father. And we thank you for those challenges. And help us to be obedient and do what is your will throughout the time. May you be glorified in that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.